John Keel in New York City. The date is November 18th, 1968. Recently, I moved from one apartment to another here in New York, and in the process of moving, I came across the box of old acetate recordings, radio programs that I had written and produced some 16, 17 years ago in Europe while I was serving with the American Forces Network in Germany. One of these shows dealt with unidentified flying objects. And as you know, acetate deteriorates rather rapidly. And these discs are beginning to wear out. And so I've tried to transfer some of them onto tape. And what follows is a tape recording of the original acetate transcription of a show called Things in the Sky, which was aired in 1952 in Germany. It was broadcast throughout Europe. AFN, the American Forces Network, is a large network of radio stations operated by the Army for the entertainment of troops overseas. You've heard of AFRS, I'm sure. They maintain similar networks in the Orient and throughout the world. They also now have some television stations, too. Well, the program you are about to hear was written about the time of the big 1952 flap. And I collected material from all kinds of sources over there and put together the show, and it was aired for the troops in Europe. It's very interesting in listening to this old show to see how very little progress we've made in the last 16 years. Most of the things that are stated on this program are still being stated by the latter-day authorities on the subject, and the controversy has not been diminished one bit. The acting on this program is rather hammy. Most of the performers, all of the performers, were GIs serving with the American Forces Network. A number of them have since gone on to become celebrities in radio and television here in the United States. You will hear one voice in particular, that of William Wolfe, who is now working with CBS in Hollywood. And Mr. Wolfe has appeared very briefly in Dr. Strange's film 7.7. Bill Wolfe has had a lifelong interest in the unusual, and he's still very interested in UFOs. I last saw Bill about 1965 when I was in Hollywood. The other voices you probably won't recognize, and some of them are really rank amateurs, as you will hear. We sometimes had to enlist everybody in the place, the engineers and so on, and some of these little dramatizations that we slapped together. But as I say, the program is interesting primarily because it shows how little progress we have made and how little our ideas of the subject have changed in the last 16 years. You will hear references to Charles Fort and to the various theories, the Mirage theories and so on. But overall, in listening to this program again after I hadn't heard it in many years, I was rather pleased to find that it is quite objective, that it tries to present several of the different aspects of the problem and tries to give you an overall view of the thing in approximately 15 minutes. Here, then, is our own little time machine. We go back 16 years to Germany in 1952 to Things in the Sky.
Hey, Joe, look. There's something on the radar screen. But there is no sky schedule at the minute. You said my flight has got a plane. Look, it's something around. It's moving at a tremendous speed. Over the corner, quick. There's something up there. There's some unidentified thing in the sky.
AFN invites you to listen to the facts on the strangest phenomenon of modern times. The facts on
in the sky. The time was 6:10 a.m. The early morning sun was hanging low over the horizon. Naval Lieutenant Frank Scoville was having his breakfast in the officer's mess when suddenly...
Lieutenant, come up and look. There's something in the sky.
Lieutenant Scoville rushed up to the deck and found all of his men staring open-mouthed at the sky. The formation of three weird meteor-like objects was shooting overhead. Later, the men aboard the ship described the lead object as being egg-shaped. The two others seemed to be round. They appeared to be traveling in echelon and moved at tremendous speed. Their appearance has never been explained.
That incident occurred in 1904, less than a year after the Wright brothers had made their first successful flight at Kitty Hawk. There were not three complete flying machines in existence at that time.
Years earlier, on November 30th, 1880, an Italian astronomer named Signor Rico was making some routine observations of the sun at the observatory at Palermo. At 8:30 that morning, he was studying the sun through a telescope when suddenly a formation of strange objects crossed his view. They were flat, dark shapes flying in two parallel lines. Then a wave of cold fear swept over him as he realized that the objects were flying at a height of almost 100 miles, higher than any living thing could go.
Signor Rico's official report was filed away in the archives of the Astronomical Society and forgotten for many years. But in the early 1920s, his observations were uncovered by a curious little man who has become the hero of the flying saucer story.
His name was Charles Foote, and he devoted his life to collecting facts on strange phenomena which science could not explain. He was a shabby-looking little man, his hair always mussed, his clothes unpressed, and his thick brown mustache bristling with curiosity. He spent most of his life in two places, the musty reading rooms of the New York Public Library and the halls of the British Museum in London. He patiently collected all of the odd little bits of information which were hidden in among the back pages of old newspapers. Fantastic information which he assembled and published in a series of books which were laughed at by the general reading public. Today, those books are considered to be the best source for information on the flying saucer mystery.
We can't help but wonder what Charles Foote could say if he knew his work was finally being accepted.
I will say that there are things between heaven and earth which are undreamed of in your scientific laboratories.
Who's that?
Foote, the name. Charles Foote.
But you died in 1932.
As long as my books are around, I'll still be alive.
Well, yes, look. Tell us, when did you get all those facts?
Scientific magazines, newspapers. I check every fact, just as carefully. Why, there's even a passage in the Bible that mentions wheels in the sky. And there are many old Indian legends about strange flying saucers. Flying discs are nothing new.
If you know so much about them, what are they? Can you tell us that?
No man can answer that question.
You think they come from Mars or some other planet?
I don't know. 1970, May 13th, to be exact, an astronomer named W.R. Burke was studying the moon in an observatory in Brighton, England. And suddenly he noticed a pinpoint of light flickering on its surface. He called another astronomer to the place, saw it too, and during the next 12 months, astronomers all over the world reported seeing 1,600 separate flashes of light on the moon. No one has ever explained them.
Well, what have they got to do with flying saucers?
Well, about the same time, there was a flurry of reports about strange things in the sky. On March 22, 1870, many people saw an odd circular object in the air over England. You can read about it in the Quarterly Journal of the Royal Meteorological Society. And in 1882, thousands of Britons saw a great disk of greenish light. Even the scientists at the Royal Observatory in Greenwich witnessed it. They estimated that it was 133 miles above the Earth and was traveling at a speed of about 10 miles per second.
Couldn't it have been the meteor?
I think that astronomers would know a meteor when they see one. Besides, these disks maneuver as though guided by some intelligence.
But we have no real conclusive proof that they exist. None of them have ever landed.
Try to tell the people who've seen them that they don't exist. In April of 1897, every newspaper in the country was carrying front-page stories about a huge cigar-shaped object which was cruising around Chicago. Later, a huge bright light passed over Omaha, Kansas. Thousands of people saw it.
Had you mentioned all those things in your book?
Yes, among other things. For example, did you know that on July 12, 1873, it rained frogs in Kansas City and in
the forest? What are the names of these books?
Well, the best one, the one that is used by the modern thoughtless loops, is called The Book of the Damned.
Newspapers usually found the summer months dull. Big news stories are generally scarce, and so the press agents and publicity hounds have a field day. The papers are filled with skillfully planted stories about movie stars and the escapades of madcap screwballs. Newspaper men have a term for these months. They call it
the silly season. It's the season of beauty contests and silly news stories that would ordinarily never appear in print. The season I remember best began in June of 1947. A pilot named Kenneth Arnold was flying over the state of Washington, and as he approached Mount Rainier, he sighted a formation of nine saucer-like things flying like geese in a diagonal line. They swirled in and out of the high peaks at a speed which Arnold estimated to be about 1,200 miles per hour.
Arnold's story flashed across the country, and within a month, lying discs had been reported in 40 states. Anyone who wanted to get his name in the paper had only to report that he or she had seen a flying saucer.
Morning, Gladys.
Hello. This is Harold Vinsky. I'm a milkman, and this morning while I was covering my route, I saw three funny-looking things in the sky. They were something. I just saw a big round thing in the air. Flew right over my car.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's right. There were about a dozen of these saucers. They circled my house, and then they faded about 2 minutes.
A lot of the reports were false. But the whole country was alarmed, and the flying saucer scare hit a new peak. Scientists and government officials scoffed. They tried to explain that the saucers were merely the product of mass hysteria.
Some people blamed them on the Soviet Union. But the saucers were also appearing over Europe and Russia. And the Soviets were blaming them on us.
The Air Force set up a special group called Operation Saucer. And they investigated each report that came in. Most of them, they found, were groundless. However, now and then, they uncovered a disturbing case. Many prominent and reputable men reported saucer sightings. Governors, senators, top newspapermen, and leading scientists claimed to have witnessed the phenomenon.
For example, in the summer of 1948, Clyde W. Tombaugh, the astronomer who discovered the planet Pluto, was sitting in the yard of his home with his wife. Suddenly, something rushed silently overhead. Something that was too fast to be a plane and too slow to be a meteor. He described it as some kind of shattered ship, oval shape.
Tombaugh's report bore a resemblance to the report of two Eastern Airline pilots, Captain Clarence S. Charles and co-pilot John B. Whitehead. They claimed to have seen a long, rocket-like ship in July of 1948.
One of the strangest incidents in the flying saucer story occurred in 1947, when a flying disc was reported to have crashed in New Mexico. The Army dispatched a plane to pick up the remains of the crash. Just as this plane was returning, it crashed, and all the men on board were killed. If they had learned anything about the saucers, their secret died with them.
This is Mike Graham speaking from Farmington, New Mexico. The 2,000 inhabitants of this little town will never forget the summer of 1950. For the past 2 weeks, the skies over Farmington have been literally swarming with strange circular objects. I'm standing now on the roof of the local bank, watching a large formation of these things as they maneuver overhead. Newspapermen and radio commentators from all over the country have gathered here to watch this fantastic spectacle. These weird things are flying at an altitude which is beyond the reach of our fighter planes. For 2 weeks, they've been conducting an amazing aerial circus above this town. It's impossible to count all the discs in the air now. There must be hundreds. And the citizens of this town have been...
For 2 weeks in the summer of 1950, New Mexico was in an uproar over the strange things which were happening in Farmington. Then, suddenly, the discs vanished and the incident was forgotten.
Since 1947, there have been thousands of flying saucer reports. Now, the same flying of the Newfoundland actually photographed the previous saucers in flight. Dozens of others have been photographed. You've probably seen picture stories in various magazines about the saucers. Some of these pictures were probably fake, but a few authentic pictures have been published.
The best group of flying disc photographs were taken by an 18-year-old boy named Carl Hart. On August 30th, 1951, he managed to get five shots of some 18 or 20 luminous objects in flight. The Air Force has found nothing fraudulent about the pictures, and leading the scientists have examined them closely. They have concluded that the objects in the photographs were at least 50,000 feet in the air and were traveling around 18,000 miles per hour.
The Coast Guard recently released a photograph of the different saucers which were photographed at an air station in Salem, Massachusetts.
Last month, as the silly season got underway, a group of flying saucers were detected by radar in the space. Since then, there has been a fresh avalanche of saucer stories.
Many scientists and technicians have observed the mysterious objects over any installation. Our fighter planes have pursued them without success.
What are they? Well, Major Donald E. Kehoe, author of the book, The Flying Saucers Are Real, has declared that he believes there may be observer units from another planet. Units sent to photograph and examine our planet.
Some scientists claim that the saucers are merely optical illusions, reflections in cloud formations. The latest theory is that the phenomenon is caused by drifting feathers of ionized air.
Perhaps it might be best if we all adopted Dr. Albert Einstein's attitude. When he was recently asked for his opinion on the flying disc phenomenon, he replied,
"These people have seen something. What it is, I do not know. And I am not curious to find out."
You have been listening to The Things in the Sky, a special program based upon facts collected by the United States Air Force and leading American magazines. Each of these facts can be fully documented by the authorities involved. For the next production, were Sergeant Leo Zales and Bob Harlan and Ken Dunnigan. And Corporal Bill Wolf and J.T. Special effects by PSC Andy Simon. This report on the Flying Saucer Mystery was written and produced in our Frankfurt studios by PSC John A. Keel. Chairman Al Wolf is speaking.